And so this might be a little bit different, but it's fine. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to do a little bit of an exercise here for us. And because I know you guys know these things, and if I'm saying something that you already know, just let it feed what you have. Let your heart agree with it. Amen? And so there's nothing new under the sun. But you know, if I said everybody's going to go out to the best steak place, we would all partake. Amen? Or your favorite food, you wouldn't deny it just because you had it before. You would enjoy it. Amen? And so let your heart agree with it. Let your spirit feed upon it. Amen? And so, and then you'll get nutrients from me, because I'm not the teacher. The Holy Ghost is. Amen? And when you hook your heart up with Him and set your mind upon what He's saying, that's when you get answers. Amen? And so in 2 Timothy, I guess I need to get over there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to do something here real quickly. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, there's an interesting phrase that's said there, that this is Paul writing to a young minister by the name of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to see in verse number 6, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy, as we said, therefore, verse number 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And so this is Paul speaking to Timothy, and he said, stir up the gift of God. Well, what is that gift? Well, I couldn't say with absolution, but I could take some other scriptures and determine. It says, stir up the gift of God, which is given to you through the laying on of my hands. And we see that in Paul's ministry in Acts chapter 19, that he laid hands upon those at Ephesus, and they received the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, and then we see that, you know, in Acts chapter 2, and in the 38 and 39th verse, it says, this is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off. That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. We see that the Holy Ghost is a gift. Amen. Then we know from Acts chapter 10, you know, where Peter is preaching to Cornelius' house, and he said, we know that they received the same Holy Ghost that we had because we heard them speak with tongues and prophesy, and it calls the Holy Ghost a gift there. Amen. And so one thing about the gift of the Holy Ghost, if this scripture is true in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that the Holy Ghost has a capacity, has the ability, there's a substance to the Holy Ghost that has the quality of being capable of being stirred up. In other words, the world's guesstimation of a Christian is that you should feel like a Christian 99.99% of the time, all the time. Amen. But if you identify your Christianity the way the world does, you're going to live a guilt-ridden life. Amen. But thank God, you know, I don't feel saved half the time. Amen. I don't feel like waking up sometimes. Amen. But thank God there's that quality of being stirred up. Amen. Well, what's that mean, to stir up the Holy Ghost, stir up that gift? Well, you know, this is the South, and I know you can go into a restaurant and you can ask them, you know, I want tea to drink, and they say sweet or unsweet. Well, you know, it's not like that everywhere. Sometimes you can just get tea, you know, and then, you know, you have to sweeten it yourself. And so, you know, I've been in restaurants before, and you'll see a glass of iced tea there, and you'll see like some young child there, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and he's pouring out tea or pouring sugar into the glass, trying to get it sweet. And he's pouring, and he's pouring, and he's pouring, and the sugar's just accumulating in the bottom. And you'll see him, he'll taste of it, and he goes like that and keeps pouring more. He's thinking that it's going to get sweeter by pouring something in there, which it will, but it needs another quality. You know, you're not going to get sweeter just by coming to church. You're not going to get sweeter just by reading your Bible. You're not going to get better just by, you know, doing things here and there and visiting things. Amen. But you've got to put something in there with that outpouring. I mean, thank God for outpourings of the Holy Ghost. Thank God the Spirit of God does fall. Amen. Even in Acts chapter 10, where Peter was preaching to Cornelius' house, he said the Holy Ghost fell on us. Amen. As in the day of the beginning. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Thank God for outpourings of the Holy Ghost. It said, pick you out, Acts chapter 6, it said, pick you out men among you that are full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Well, thank God for being full of the Holy Ghost, but you need to be full of faith too. Amen. Not just full of the Holy Ghost, but full of faith, full of believing something. Amen. Thank God we got full of the Holy Ghost last night. Amen. Thank God we got full of the Spirit of God, full of the witness of the Spirit, full of the attributes of the Holy Ghost. But thank God you're not in church with somebody laying hands on you all the time. Sometimes you're on the 101 where we live, LA. If you don't have flesh, just come out there. Let me let you drive on the 101. We'll see how much flesh you have. But anyway, and so... You know, you don't always feel like a Christian. You don't always have somebody lay hands on you. So what do you got to do? You got to stir them up. You don't go by your feelings, but you can stir him up. Amen. And you take a spoon and you put it in iced tea and you begin to gently stir it. And what's in the iced tea, which is sugar, begins to dissolve and become one with the tea and taste sweet. Amen. Well, you couldn't say you don't have the Holy Ghost. You couldn't say you don't have a helper. You couldn't say you don't have a strengthener. You couldn't say, but I don't feel any strength. I don't have a cup. I don't see any ability there, but you got to stir them up. Amen. Now go with me over to, I know we're making reference to a lot of scriptures, but over in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter and then the 26th verse, John 14, 20. See, there's answers here. Answers here. Answers here. Answers by the Holy Ghost. Answers by the Spirit of God. Your answer's not going to come in the mail and just be a big sign and just going to yell at you, I'm your answer. No, it's going to come from on the inside. It's going to come by a witness of the Holy Ghost. You're going to have an inkling on the inside. Do this or don't do this. You're going to have something on the inside bearing witness with you to the truth. Amen. But neglecting not the witness of the Holy... Answers. 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 Answers by the Holy Ghost. Answers in your marriage. Answers in your home life. Answers in your job. Answers by the Holy Ghost. Answers by the anointing. Answers that break the yoke and destroy bondages. Answers that lead you out. He said, I'm your shepherd and I will lead you out of trouble, out of depression, out of discouragement, out of dismay by laying hold of the inward witness and being led out by that gentle hand. Amen. Well, I don't feel like he's leading me out. Well, neither do I. But thank God we all know as good word of faith people, we're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by those things, but we're moved by what? By what we believe. But you've got to ask yourself, not just, oh, believe with me. What do you really believe? What does you not mentally believe, but what does your heart really bear witness to? What do you really believe? Amen. Ah, let me go for John 14, 26. I got to hurry here. I'm getting ahead of myself because I have somewhere to go here. Praise the Lord. Hey, 14:26 in the Amplified. Oh, they'll put it up here. John 14:26 in the Amplified. Everybody all right? Praise the Lord. It says, but the Comforter. Now, just so you know, remember we said the Holy Ghost is the gift, right? And if you want to fill your faith... regarding praying in tongues, John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking about the helper which is to come. Yeah. Acts chapter 1, he said, go in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. What promise? This promise. Yeah. The promise he was talking about. John 14, 15, and 16, he's talking about attributes and qualities of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So it says here, but the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name... He will teach you all things. So it's interesting here. I just wanted to do that sevenfold meaning there. So when you pray in the other tongues, I like what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the promise gave them utterance. They began to speak in other tongues as the helper gave them utterance. They began to speak in other tongues as the counselor gave them utterance. And it's not just mental counseling. It's not just mental confusion. It's not just, you know, psychological things. He said in the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all gathered together in one accord in one place, and there came a sound from where?
Heaven.
From heaven. Heavenly counsel. Heavenly help. Heavenly intercession. Heavenly strength. When you speak in tongues, it said that there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. There appeared unto who? Them. Them. Not just one individual, but there are corporate demonstrations where the Holy Ghost will fall and the eyes of all will be opened and the ears of all will hear and all of us will see and all of us will know and all will leave changed, all will leave healed, all will leave whole by the anointing and the unction of the Holy Ghost. And so, It said there that there came a sound from heaven. If you have loved ones that went on to the other side, don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. You got a hotline to where they are. You got a hotline to their mansion. You got a hotline to their living room. You got a hotline to the street they're walking on. You got a hotline to where they are. And out of your spirit flows the issues of life. Out of your belly comes rivers of living water. It says there came a sound from heaven, and they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit, as the promise, as that which came from heaven gave them utterance, they spoke. And so that's not just for me. That's just not for these wonderful, glorious friends, but that is you.
Yeah.
Amen. You, when you speak in tongues. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and then we'll pray a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that's all right. Woo! You don't even have to think it in your head. You don't even have to believe it with your emotions. You don't have. It didn't say believe with your head. Believe with your noggin. Believe with your emotions. Believe with your thoughts. No, you believe with your spirit. You believe with your witness. And it shall come to pass. I'm really getting ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 14 in the Amplified, which I don't have it, but it's here. It says in the 14th verse, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays."
Yeah.
Amen. So there it is in the Amplified. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, bears no fruit, and helps nobody." And so we're going to pray in tongues just for just 2 or 3 minutes. Why am I going to do this? Well, because sometimes when we get in services, you know, we're worshiping God and stuff. But I wanted to do this as an exercise to get you purposefully looking to your spirit.
Yeah.
To interpret the flow of the service and what's going on in the service with your spirit, man, not your head.
Yeah.
Amen? And sometimes you can get, why are they wearing that? Or how come they didn't say this to me? Or I saw a pastor before and he didn't look at me right. Or, you know, I spilled a drink on me when I was driving over.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get something in your head and it gets you distracted.
Come on.
But to be carnally minded is separation from life, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, set your mind on your spirit. Amen? Because that's where answers come from.
Yeah.
So we're just going to take a minute. Is that all right?
Yeah.
If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you can be. Just start speaking. When the rest of us start praying, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost will come on you, and you just give it syllables. You just begin to speak as the Spirit gives it utterance. Just begin to make noises, and the hala mahona hey to go hey. And if you need healing in your body, the healer that abides on the inside of you, he'll quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that abides in you. He'll make alive your mortal body. 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 Well, I'm the call Muhammad. Let's just pray. Pouring out of the holy pot of Porta Mahana. Pouring out upon the man. Answers in the mind of Gonda, Maganaman, Zeta, Berdin, Ganaman, the Gain David, Digalamonho. Hey, it's the Somahanjan, Hallelujah. Also, Soto La Brigina, Mandigalaman, the Gator Bagonamo, Mondale Brigina, Mondale Brigina, Mondale Brigalaman, the Godaho, Ojasito La Brigonamo. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's how you stir up counsel. You know, listen, don't be condemned if you're confused. You're supposed to be confused. You're just not supposed to stay confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't feel bad if you feel weak and feel like quitting and giving up. We all feel that way. It's just we need a strength, some strength. Why would he send a strengthener if we're always going to be perfect? Why would he send a Holy Ghost, God-indwelling therapist if we're never going to need it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So go to 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20. We're just going to rehearse some of these scriptures. I might go kind of quick here eventually. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Hallelujah. First John chapter 2, verse number 20. It says, but Pastor Mark has an anointing from the Holy One. It's a right Bible. Oh, it says, but you. Had to read it on the wall to get it right. But you have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things. There is nothing in the realm of knowing that you can't know by unction. There is no darkness that cannot be illuminated by the light of unction. There is no confusion. There is no discouragement. There is no devil in hell that will not be illuminated and dispelled by the light and revelation of the inward witness in the Word of God. Amen. But you have an unction and you know all things. In the 27th verse, we can go over there and look at that. We'll come back to the 20th. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teaches you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all what? All things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So the anointing teaches you all things. The Holy Ghost teaches you all things. Now hold your place here. Well, they can put it up on the screen. Romans chapter 8. I don't want to have you flipping too much. We'll do a little bit of teaching here. Romans chapter 8. And it says in the 16th verse, Romans 8:16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And we're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. But the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now go back with me to 1 John chapter 2. So the Spirit of God communicates with us by a witness. I like what it says, and I'm just going to make reference to some of these for the sake of time because we don't want to keep you all night. But in 1 John chapter 5, it says that we have the witness in ourselves. We have the witness in ourselves. Where is that witness? It's on the inside. I like what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body, amen, be preserved blameless into the coming of the Lord. So the Holy Ghost doesn't bear witness with your mind. He doesn't bear witness with your emotions. He doesn't bear witness with your feelings. He doesn't bear witness with your body. He's not here physically to touch your body, to bear witness with your body. Amen. Now, I'm not saying the anointing won't have an effect upon your body and won't have an effect upon your mind, will, and emotions, but he doesn't speak directly to them. He speaks and communicates directly to your spirit. He bears witness with your spirit. Amen. And so you could read this scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 20, like this. You wouldn't be doing this scripture any injustice or twisting or making it say something it's not saying. You could say this, but you have an unction or you have a witness from the Holy One that causes you to know all things. Isn't that amazing that the witness of the Spirit or unction affects your knower? Unction affects what you know. Unction, that's what the Ephesians prayer is. It's praying that the life in you affects your understanding. Amen?
Amen.
So being spiritually minded or unction minded or witness minded. Being mindful of that witness. You might say, well, what is that witness? How am I going to know what that witness is? That's what I'm trying to figure out, is what that witness is. Have you ever had a scripture jump out to you? We've all had a scripture jump out to us, right? You've been reading the Bible, and all of a sudden a scripture jumps out to you. See, that's the Holy Ghost witnessing to that scripture. In other words, I like to think of it like this. Because, when you do something repetitiously, there's a danger of getting into rules and regulations that can get you away from the Holy Ghost. And when you do something repetitiously, you know, you're reading your Bible every day, and the Holy Ghost will cause a scripture to jump out to you. There's a temptation. No, I don't have much time, and I got to get to the end of the chapter because I want to stay in my regimen. But camp on that one that jumps out to you.
Amen.
Because if Jesus was here in the flesh, let's just hypothesize, if Jesus was physically here in the flesh and we were sitting down reading the Bible, and all of the Bible is inspired, right? It's all inspired, but let's say we're reading through a passage of Scripture and then Jesus just pointed his finger and touched that verse and says, Lonnie, what about that one? Jesus, I got to get to the end of the chapter. Would you do that? We would all think, yes, sir, what about it? What about it? You know?
Amen. That's good.
And so we got to give it attention. You know, when it comes to following God's plan for your life, most people aren't going to miss it in following the principles in the written word. They're going to miss it in following and believing the spoken word. In other words, what God bears witness to your spirit specifically about his plan for your life. There's principles in the Word of God that apply to every area of your life, whether it's overcoming the flesh or being led by the Spirit into God's plan and purpose for your life. But there's nowhere in the Scripture where it says anything about Huntsville, Alabama, or Madison, or the place that you work. You've got to determine those things within your own spirit by following that witness. Amen? And so, but it says here, but you have a witness by the Holy One that'll affect your mind, will, and emotions, that'll affect what you know. Now, you follow that witness whether you know it or not when you got saved. So I got saved in the early 80s, and I'd never, you know, never proclaimed to be a Christian, never really thought of myself as a Christian or whatever, you know. I grew up kind of in and out of church, and, you know, and so I was at a relative's house, and they said, are you a Christian? Are you going to heaven? And I thought, well, I don't know. I guess I'm as good as anybody else. I'll go to heaven as much as anybody else. Why is any, you know? I thought, well, I guess. And they said, well, you need to know. And I said, well, I don't know. And then they said, well, you need to get saved. And I said, where's the line? You know? And so, you know, that was on a Wednesday. And I don't know why. I don't understand why. I don't really have a clue why. They didn't pray with me. They said, we'll go to church on Sunday. And you can go to the altar and get saved. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll go to church and get saved on Sunday. That's how you go to heaven. I'll do it. What do I care? You know, I believe that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. I mean, I'd heard the story my whole life. You know, I had faith to be saved for as long as I can remember. There's not a time in my life I did not have faith to be saved that I'm aware of. I always believed the story. I always heard the story. I always had a conviction that Christianity was right, but nobody ever approached me to do something with it myself.
Wow.
Until that moment.
Wow.
And so somebody approached me and said, you know, Jesus is God. He's raised from the dead for your sins. And I said, he is? And I said, I heard that my whole life, but nobody ever told me I had to do anything with it. But you know, my whole life, I had all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues up to that time. And I never once in my whole life, my whole 15 years, ever thought that I wasn't saved. It never even occurred to me I wasn't saved. It never even occurred to me that I was on my way to hell. But from Wednesday to Saturday then, every day, all day long, it was like, you're not, that ain't going to work. No, that's not going to be any good. You're not going to get saved. You can't get saved. You don't need to do that. It was like the whole time the devil was telling me, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You don't believe that. That's not right. But see, I had an inward conviction. My mind didn't believe it. My mind tried to get my dad to come get me early to leave so I wouldn't have to go to church on Sunday. I tried to get rides with other people to get out of there. Mentally, I didn't believe it, and I had a fight mentally the whole time with it, but I had an inward conviction. There was something, an undeniable quality. See, I had a conviction. I had a witness that this Jesus, this is God, that he is God. And see, when I went to the altar, it was awesome. I went to the altar. There's this giant man, really big, tall man. He was wearing a leisure suit, and, you know, it was the early 80s. And I went down there and I knelt to pray with him. I said, I want to get saved. And he's like, sure. And I knelt down and he started praying. I don't even know what I prayed. I just started praying over the top of him, you know, just interrupted him and started praying. And then he hugged my neck and said, you're born again. And I didn't feel any different, didn't know anything any different. But and I'm thankful that, you know, they didn't give me a bunch of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this, you know, because I was messed up. But they gave me, my relatives gave me Brother Hagin's book, Understanding the Anointing, and told me to read my Bible and pray. But you know, the thing of it is I was led into salvation just by following an inward conviction. I responded to that inward conviction, not having a clue what I did. not knowing what I did. See, go with me to Romans chapter 10. Following the witness is not a mental following. Following the witness, see, faith comes by hearing. In Romans 10, verse number 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, I'd heard the story, the gospel story, my whole life. And so I had faith to be healed. And you could just say, faith comes by a witness. Faith comes by a witness. It's not a mental hearing. It's a witness hearing. It's hearing with your heart. It's hearing with your spirit. Faith doesn't come by mentally hearing and hearing it out here. You can be reading the Bible silently to yourself and it feed your faith. So it's not an outward, and that it includes that, but it's not isolated to an outward hearing. It's a hearing of the heart. Amen? And so that means if it's a hearing of the heart and faith is of the heart, that means actions that are acted of the heart solicit faith's answer. So it's not a mental action. Right. And so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. In other words, when God quickens it to your spirit, when it's alive in your spirit. Brother Hagin would always say this. He goes, it's not going to work for you because it worked for me. It's not going to work for you because you read it in my book. It's not going to work for you because you listened to the tape. You got to take God's word and make it your word. Yeah. Yeah. You got to take his word and meditate on it till it's your word. Until it's real to you. That's why principles and steps half-heartedly practice don't work. You got to make it your own. You got to make it until you know on the inside, I have an unction of the Holy One and I know all things. And the devil in your mind will say, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. But I know on the inside, I have an unction of the Holy One and I know all things. I got an unction of the Holy One and I know all things. So faith comes by. I know these are things, you guys know these things, but I just wanted to approach it from another area, from another angle. Because see, when it comes to healing, because the power of God that heals the body, God's tool for physical healing is not physical. God's means of physical healing is spiritual, and I don't mean Holy Ghost. God's means of physical healing is your spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is a spiritual man, and I dare not say there is also a natural man or a physical man. That the first man, which was of the dust, which was Adam, he was earthly and natural. But the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is spiritual. Yes. Amen. And you have a spiritual body. You have a spiritual inward man. Yes. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. After the inward man. After the inward man. Your body's going to fight you every tooth and toenail. Your body can't believe God. Your body can't believe the things of God. Your feelings don't believe the things of God. But they don't have to. Because I believe in my heart and say with my mouth. And I change my body. I quicken my body with the force of faith that's on the inside of me. I alter my visage and what I see and what sees me with the voice of faith. Believing in your heart, like it says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 8, 9, and 10, but what saith it? The word is nigh you, and even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. He didn't say believing in your head. See, I didn't believe in my head. I didn't believe in Christianity with my head. I wanted to argue and chase girls and do crazy stuff. But you know, in my heart, I had a conviction. In my heart, I had a call of God. In my heart, I remembered when I was 4 years old, I was watching a preacher on television and said, you're going to do that. You're going to, and I'm like, no, no, no. But I had an inward conviction on the inside. 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 I had an inward answer. And see, you have an answer. You have an answer. You have an answer. You have an answer. You have an answer on the inside by the unction of the Holy Ghost, by a witness on the inside. So, but anyways, and it's not just mental words. He didn't say believe with your feelings. He didn't say believe with your earlobes. He didn't say believe with your hair. If you're believing for your knee to be healed, you don't even have to consult your knee. I don't have to ask my knee for permission whether it's healed or not. I don't have to ask my feelings if I'm confused or not. I don't have to ask my head whether I know what to do or not. Because I have an unction of the Holy Ghost. And I know all things. I know all things. I know all things. I don't have to know the end to know that I'm going to run my race and finish my course. I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to set my tongue and I'm going to run and I'm going to finish my course. Well, how are you going to get there? By one day at a time, one step at a time, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Well, if sickness and disease gets in the way, out of my belly flows rivers of living water, and there'll come a river of healing. There'll come a river of quickening. See, you don't have, now when it comes to healing, you don't even have to believe it mentally. So quit trying. Just forget about it. Just forget about it. Just forget about it. Just forget about it. And feed the witness. Feed the witness. Feed the witness like you got a hamster and you got to feed it. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Guard it and feed it. You don't even have to know what's going on. It's awesome. Yeah. Our stupidity doesn't even have nothing to do with it. I don't have to ask my body if it's healed or not. I don't have to believe with my arms. I don't have to believe with my shoulders. And it's not just, listen, I'm going to say something a little. You can speak the word all day long, but if you don't speak what's witnessing to your spirit, you're going to miss it. It's kind of like this. You speak the written word until the spoken word surfaces, and then you're obligated.
Well, that's good.
Take healing scriptures and mentally start working them. But when you work them, look to your spirit and see where your heart bears witness to. Because you might start doing healing scriptures, and all of a sudden in a healing scripture, the Lord will start saying, start talking about forgiveness. And start talking about letting things go.
Yeah.
Man, if you didn't get this morning's tape, boy, you need to get it. Yeah. You know, one of the best things I love about Christianity is I don't have to believe that I forgive them. I mean, I don't have to feel like I forgive them.
Right.
I can believe I forgive them. Yeah. It didn't say the love of God shed abroad in my feelings. Yeah. It didn't say it's in my body. It didn't say it's in my emotions. It's in my spirit, man. Yeah. So I believe with my heart and say with my mouth, I'm a lover. I'm a forgiver. I'm a forgiver. And I forgive in my heart, and I say with my mouth, I forgive. And eventually it wrangles me into the right position.
Yeah,
yeah, but I hate them. You can just keep saying what you feel. See, God's method of physical healing is spiritual. It is the Holy Ghost, but the tool the Holy Ghost uses is that bear witness. That witness of the Spirit in your heart. When you speak get in tune with that witness. When you pray in tongues, it's the Holy Ghost witnessing to your spirit those syllables. So it's otopre vevashin egristen dopre visto. So work that, believe that, get a scripture, and just talk that scripture. Everybody knows John 3:16. Everybody knows Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through the unction which strengthens me. I can do all things through the witness that strengthens me. Well, that doesn't say the witness, it says Christ. But Christ is the anointing and his anointed. And that anointing abides in me and seeps out to my body through the witness. So God's doorknob to the supernatural is the witness.
Amen.
And when you grab a hold of that doorknob and start turning it, it seems like such a little turn, but it opens such a great door. Believe that witness and converse with the witness. Give voice to what your heart believes. See, it didn't say in Romans 10, it didn't say believe with your head. It didn't say believe with your feelings. It didn't say believe with your ideas. It didn't say believe with the concepts of what grandma said. It said believe with your heart.
Yeah. Yeah,
come on. Believing with your heart is believing with your spirit. It's believing with the inner man. Paul said, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man's renewed day by day. Amen. Peter said, it's the hidden man of the heart. Amen? And so, believing with your heart and saying with your mouth. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So go to Proverbs chapter 20. Don't undermine these things. Your answers, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wranglings in your soul, wranglings in your thoughts, dealings with your flesh are not overcome by fighting and contending with the flesh. It's not contending with the problem. It's not contending with the passions of the flesh that overcome the flesh. But it's following the spirit that you overcome the deeds of the body. It's by pursuing things of the heart that you overcome the things of the outer man. The outer man cannot be subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But the inner man follows and pursues the very things of God. Now, the world says that if you're a real Christian, that you won't feel that way. Anybody ever had those ideas? If you were a real Christian and if you were right with God, you wouldn't have that desire, or you wouldn't feel that way, or you wouldn't have responded that way. But that's a lie. We all have a body. We all have flesh. That doesn't mean it's going to be at the forefront of your thoughts and minds for the rest of your life. Amen? But you can quiet it, and you can give it shots of glory. But you don't do that by fighting with that. See, it's too good. Like we were saying at the men's meeting, a lot of times men want to be rigid and black and white and stern. And if you miss it, well, bless God, I missed it. I just got to, you know, penance my way through. And I feel guilty and I've just got to suffer through until I can earn my way back. But it's too good the way the Lord has it. It's just so good. When you miss it by allowing your flesh to dominate, you just get back into your heart and start pursuing things of the Spirit, and the Lord will automatically remind you of some offensive plan that He has for you. And He doesn't even bring up that. He's just like, take a step this way, and you're like, yeah, but, how am I? Forgetting those things which are behind. Like Pastor Bruce said this morning, one of the biggest things you got to do is learn to forgive yourself. Learn to let go of the things of the flesh and the passions of the flesh. Learn to let go of those things. And don't let the desires and aspects of your flesh define who you are. By reminding you of how you felt. See, your body is made of dirt. And the devil has a right to manipulate dirt. So he can make you feel to a certain extent any way he wants to make you feel. But it's like a bass and a lure. Are you going to bite on it? Are you going to believe? And I love it. It's so awesome. Because he said, believe in your heart. I don't have to believe nothing my feelings say. Even if it's true. Even if I acted that way. Even if I behaved and come in one with and acted and feel. Even if I feel like I hate them.
Come on.
Yeah, but I do hate them. And you don't know what they did to me. I don't know, don't care, and don't want you to come up and tell me. But it said in Romans chapter 8, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So what's carnally minded? It's feelings minded. When you sit around and think about how you feel, you separate yourself from the life of God that brings your answer. So how much more is it bad when you sit around and think about how somebody else made you feel? See, you're separating yourself from the witness by thinking about how they made you feel. So forget how they made you feel. Forget how you felt. Yeah. You know, you got all this insanity going on. People don't know what gender they are. Uh-oh. Well, my Lord, it's not too hard to tell. But let me give you something better. He said, when you get to heaven, there'll be neither male nor female. And you're not a gender anyway. You're a spirit man. But you know what you are? Is you're called to be a good steward over the gender that you are. Your body has a gender, and you're called to be a good steward over that gender. Right. So even the weaknesses and the strengths of your gender are not who you are. Yeah. If you're a man, you're not black and white. You might feel that way. You might want to reason this way, but you should be able to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. And you know, you don't, as long as you define yourself by your gender or your race, you're being carnally minded. Yeah. To be race minded or to be gender minded is to be carnally minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, I want an answer. I want an answer. I want an answer. But your mind is set on your gender. What about this or what about that or some other aspect of your flesh? As long as your mind is tuned in to your flesh, it's going to get how you feel about it. And more than that, it's going to get how the media can make you feel about it. Refuse. Refuse to let darkness and sickness and disease and perversion define who you are with feelings. Say, I'm a new creature. 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 And I have an unction, and I know what to do. I know where to go. I know who to marry. I know where to go. By the unction, by the anointing, by the yoke destroyer. Yeah, but I don't know. Who cares? That's your mind talking. Your spirit knows. There's nothing in the realm of knowing that unction can't deliver you from. There's nothing in the realm of answers that you can't get answers from the Anantamaha and Skindelebrehena and Ankalamadagina Mahoho. Out of your belly. Just give it 15 seconds a day when you're nuking your coffee in the morning. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you 15 seconds. These 30 seconds, I'm going to take some counsel. I don't understand what that preacher is talking about. I don't understand everything. But I'm going to give the anointing 30 seconds and just pray in the Holy Ghost. You can always add. So just start. I mean, that seems so short. Oh, it's just such a small thing, that inward witness. Are you going to undermine two loaves and a couple of fishes? He said, what is this among so many? And sometimes we have such a big problem, and we got so many marital problems and issues. Oh, how is this going to fix this, and how is this going to fix this? Let him take that one witness. And all the witness might be is that, man, there's some truth in that scripture. It brings a nourishment to me. I don't get it. I don't understand how it's going to lead me there, but there's something good there. Begin to focus on it. Anything times zero is zero. 500 million times zero is zero. So when you think about and ponder and meditate upon how you feel, all you're going to do is compound ignorance. That's it. And you're going to increase and get dumber and dumber. And darker and darker. And darker and darker. Remember Jesus said, how great is that darkness? You're going to get darker. You're going to get darker. And you're going to get darker and darker and darker and darker and darker still yet. But when you start following that light, the unction of the Holy Ghost, like it says here in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 27. I think we had it somewhere. This is answers. Don't undermine it. Oh, I didn't realize what time it was. Praise the Lord. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly or of his heart. King James says belly. So it says the spirit of man is the lamp, and we know that... from what we just read, it says, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, your spirit by the Holy Spirit prays within you. And we saw that you have an unction of the Holy One and you know all things. The unction comes out of your spirit. Amen? And so the Holy Ghost, the tool that God's going to use to get direction to you, to get clarity to you, to get healing to you, to get prosperity to you. Prosperity. He's going to get in. It said the blessing of the Lord makes rich, not just a good idea. Come on. The blessing of the Lord is an anointing. Yeah. It's an equipping. Yeah. It's of the Spirit. Yeah. It's being led by the Spirit that makes you wealthy, yeah, that gets you into that sapona haven. Yes. So following the witness, yeah, following the inner man. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so it said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord that searches all the inward parts of the belly. Now I'll do something here. Now this is, see, I mean, this didn't help much because it's so light in here. But let you, oh, thank you. Praise the Lord. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, see, everybody here, they got lights on their phones, but over here they don't. Now, see, if I wanted to get to the door back there, just from what I can see, it looks like I could just walk straight there. And if the Lord wants me to get there, He's going to move upon my heart and show me. There's chairs there. So He might show me this way. He might not even show me the chairs. He'll just shine it over here. And, oh, there's nothing there. I can take a step that way. Yeah, but Lord, the door's over there. Lord, don't you know the door's over there? And He's saying, oh, it's clear this way. Yeah, but Lord, the door's over there. Lord, I need to get over there. What are you doing? The door's over there. What are you doing? So you have a witness to go this direction. You have something in your heart to go this. Yeah, but the door's over there. I need to get over there. Lord, don't you know? But then he'll move upon your heart. He'll enlighten your spirit. He'll witness to your spirit this direction. Go this way. Follow this way. He'll navigate you. See, I'm walking. I'm fine. I can walk with confidence. But if the light's over here and I'm walking, I'm going to run right into the pulpit. And then I could complain, well, Lord, why didn't you show me? You knew that was there, and I was walking, and I was obeying the Word of God, and I was quoting scriptures every day, and here I hit the chairs, and I was saying, the steps of the righteous are ordered of God, bless God. And then there's my answer, is healing over there. And I said, by His stripes, I'm healed, the Lord. I guess it just doesn't work for me. And the whole time, my spirit was enlightened to go over here. Because there's and not only just a pathway, but there's a brother over here that I got mad at. There's a brother here, the Lord said, give him $100. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to give him $100. I'm talking about healing right now. I don't need $100. I don't want to give him $100. And the Lord seemed like, no, give him $100. And I'm like, yeah, but Lord, it's clear right there. I can go right there. I can see it's clear. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can turn back. So if you neglect your heart, you're neglecting God's visage into this realm. So that's why I love, you know, you can, well, we don't have, well, I got a couple more things and then we'll wrap this up. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. I wasn't going to go here, but we will. Physical healing is spiritual in nature. Physical healing comes from the witness being enhanced by the anointing flowing from your inner man, from the witness of the inner man and affecting your physical body. When a scripture jumps out to you, it affects your feelings. When you sense the anointing, even like in the service tonight, you sense the anointing. Anybody sense the anointing? And it has like a physical goosebumps or something like that. You can feel it. It's tangible, physical. Well, see, that's the anointing of God endeavoring to have a physical impact. It's just how the anointing of God can cause your tongue to move and have a physical effect. That's how easy healing is. As you stay hooked up to the witness, the power of God will flow forth from the witness and affect healing in your body. Amen. So let the Holy Ghost work in your nerves, like in the tops of your feet and your nerves. Let the anointing be saturating and affecting. Get your mind off your nerves and your feet and get it on the witness. But as long as you're nerve-minded and feet-minded, then the problems are enhanced. But when you're witness-minded, it opens the gateways of the Holy Ghost and the anointing to flow out of your witness into your feet. But how do you get it to move? It's in there, but it's not just believing with the witness that gets it to affect your body, but it's saying with your mouth what you witness with your spirit. I say with my mouth, the healing power of God is affecting my body. That's why it said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. It didn't say receive them. It said, believe you receive them. And where do you believe with? Your spirit. So it's believing with your heart, not with your body. So it has nothing to do with my body, but it has an effect upon my body. So I don't even have to consult my body whether I'm healed or not. I consult my believer. And when my believer witnesses with my spirit, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. See, there's joy in there. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried. And you see, you work scriptures until there's life in them or a witness in them. And then you hold on to that witness and follow that witness, and it'll bring you to a culmination of physical change. Where do we have you go? Galatians 5. Oh, Galatians 5. I have somewhere good to go. I just got 10 minutes to get there. So Galatians chapter 5, we're not going to go through all these things, but in Galatians 5, verse number 19, we're not going to read it. I'm just going to make reference to it. It says, the works of the flesh are these. And it lists all these feelings. And bad moods. And refuse to define yourself by bad moods and feelings. These are things of your flesh, not of you. And stand against defining yourself by these feelings. It doesn't mean you're not going to have these feelings, but this is not who you are. But I love what it says here. In the 21st verse, it says envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. And I like the next part. It says, and the like. Because some people get so literal, it's like, well, it doesn't name my thing in there, so I'm free. You know, it just says everything like this. So if it's even close, it's got you. Yeah. Somebody's like, I can do whatever I want. Sure, you can do whatever you want. But it says here, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the reason I brought this up is because it says those that practice, or you could say it like this, those that pursue envy, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. He's talking to Christians. They got their fire insurance. But the inheritance of being led by your good shepherd here, you're going to miss. You're wanting healing, but you're pursuing the things of the flesh. And it's not just the pursuit of the things of the flesh, it's what you got your mind on. See, those that pursue things of the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. But those that pursue things of the Spirit, they've got their mind on things of the Spirit. Well, how do you set your mind on things of the Spirit? Well, one way is taking scriptures that discuss it and begin to put them in your mind and put them in your mouth.
Yeah.
In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, we know the scripture. I don't even have to say it. You guys already know it. It says, I will meditate in this law day and night. And I'll what? Not let it depart out of my mouth. How do you meditate in it? By keeping it in your mouth. The number one way you keep yourself meditating on the Word is speaking it. And when you begin to speak the Word of God about your feelings, and Lord, even though you might feel so, one definition of envy is an inward, passionate disgust at the prosperity and blessing of others. Anybody ever been there? They got a new car, and they just started tithing last week. I've been tithing for 44 years, and nothing's ever happened to me. Well, you just took yourself out of line.
Yeah.
So, saying with your mouth what you believe in your heart. But anyway, well, that's enough of that. So, you know, don't be condemned because you have feelings of these kind of things. Begin to walk in the Spirit or by the witness. And begin to fellowship with the Scriptures. That's one of the reasons, I could try to say something nice and say something, whatever. But don't pick your friends. Don't choose your friends. I don't have an option with these guys. Because there's a supply.
That's it.
There's a supply that is my Lord. Like Pastor Bruce was saying, they are love and I am love. I in you and you in me.
Yeah.
And my heart witnesses to my friends, and there's a supply of the Spirit that comes out of them and out of me.
Yeah.
And it keeps me. It sustains me.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it corrects. I love the way Miss Angela was ministering on Sunday. It brought so much life and direction and correction. And it's such a supply.
Yes.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forget about it. I mean, I love all these people dearly and don't have any clashes with them. But, when you have a hookup with somebody, the flesh is irrelevant.
Yeah.
You make the Spirit a priority and the supply the supply of the Spirit a priority, and that enables you to navigate through the waters of the flesh.
Yeah, that's good.
Anybody had a bad day? Do you want to let your bad day or their bad day keep you from the supply of your Savior that comes out of that person?
No.
I don't have a choice with Pastor Mark. I don't have a choice. Not that I would want to do something different, but there's a supply of my Savior that comes out of Him into me that helps, sustains, strengthens, enables.
That's good. Yes.
Regardless of whether I like or dislike His new beard. But am I going to let his decision about facial hair keep me from receiving the anointing of God? How ridiculous are we? And don't let the media describe to you who you are. You be a spirit man and a steward over the mystery of your body. And you hook up with those that the Lord sends you to.
Amen.
And get the supply of the Holy Ghost out of them. Amen.
Amen.
And as Dana's going to be saying some things, I'll tell this guy's over here. Go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll finish up. We got 4 minutes. But you have an unction of the Holy One, and you know all things. And the witness of the Spirit is an entrance, is a doorknob to the supernatural. There are outpourings of rain, outpourings of the Holy Ghost, outpourings of a move of God that have been and that are and that will be. The outpourings of the Holy Ghost are not perceived with the mentality. They're not seen with the eyes of the soul, so to speak, but they are perceived with the inward man, with the spirit of man, and they are caught by the spirit of man. And they are helped to be caught by the inspiration and the unction of the Holy One who knows all things. And he reveals and unveils and unfolds to us the way that is at hand. Amen? And so, but in Acts chapter 2, I guess I need to get there. We'll wrap this up. I don't really know what this has been. Some exhortations, some thoughts. And but don't undermine the witness you have. You know, I called Pastor Mark, or I text him, even though he despises texting. Or doesn't like texting. What's that? Am I in trouble?
No. You know me. No.
Okay. And everybody say discouraged.
Discouraged.
And so I was a little more than discouraged. I was mad and about some things. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to make this. I'm like, I don't care if it's the will of God or not. This is what I'm doing. And so I'm texting him some things. And I'm like, and I'm like, Lord, I'll give you a couple chances through Pastor Mark to say something. And he helped me. Not in a good, I mean, in a good way. But he's like, he fell, you know, he's like, oh, okay, you want to do that? Okay, I'll help you go that way. You know, not literally, but he just kind of opened the door. But the thing it did for me is the supply.
Yeah, supply. That's good. It's precious. Yes.
It just helped me expand my thinking.
Yeah.
And it showed me where I was missing it. He didn't necessarily say anything, so very gracious and so very kind, even though he knows in his spirit, by the Holy Spirit. I was being a baby. But see, what I was neglecting to do was believe the witness I already had. Because
yeah, right.
I wanted the Holy Ghost to say something different in a different way.
Yeah.
I wanted a little more of something, you know, I'm trying to do something different or trying to make it a certain way. But see, I wasn't discussing with the witness what I should do. I was discussing with my mind and my doubts what I wanted to do. What do you mean discussing with the witness? One time we were in prayer school in Brother Hagin's ministry, and he's just praying away and demonstrating prayer and talking. And he stops in the middle of it, and he goes, I'm not talking to a voice. Because he's, you know how he'd do, that's right, Lord. Yeah, I know them. Yeah, they went off and they quit 2 years. You know, he's talking like that. And he stopped and he goes, no, Lord. Or he stopped and he says, no, I'm not talking to a voice. I'm not hearing words. He goes, I'm speaking and conversing with the anointing. And the anointing forms and fashions back. Because he believed that the witness was the voice of God. And saying, I was just in unbelief about some things. And I kicked myself, as Pastor Bruce did this morning, kicked myself in the behind and beefed up my faith. And see, I started meditating on what God spoke to me by the witness before. And see, when I started meditating upon what he spoke to me, then I started having more faith about what he talked to me to do.
Yeah.
But I was wanting something different. But anyway, so Acts chapter 2, and we'll end with this. Hallelujah. In Acts 2, it says here in the 17th verse, it says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. In the Amplified, it says divinely granted appearances or visitations, and divinely granted dreams, divine dreams of the Holy Ghost. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, accessed by believing with the witness and saying with your mouth. Obedience by faith, not by feelings. Obeying and decreeing by what you see with the witness. And let the dream come forth out of your spirit. Let the visitation of God, divine anointing, the Spirit of God, descend and rest upon you and converse with you and bring you out of confusion, bring you out of discouragement, bring you out of despair into the light where you can stand and fight the good fight and dispel all darkness and discouragement and dismay, and you'll run your race and follow the Holy Ghost and follow His ways. Out of your spirit will flow rivers of joy, rivers of pleasure, rivers of God's best. And that will enable you to go forth and put your hand with somebody else and help them to pass their test. Out of your spirit flows issues of life that will cause you to lay aside the works of darkness and sin and strife. Out of your belly will flow things that you did not know, that didn't come out of your mind or your mentality, and things that you could not see. But out of your spirit will come the freedom and the liberty of the Holy Ghost by the things that you decree. Out of your spirit. The gifts and callings of God, visitations by the witness. Believing the witness, and visitations will come. Visions and revelations. Revelations and visions. Visions and revelations by the whole Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. Laying aside every weight in the maha, shunamahone, eshkinda balamahe, echkinda gangre brigida. Rivers, ministerial direction, ministerial change. Yeah, for you personally, it would be one way, but for the ministry's sake, it will be another way. For your own personal direction and decree, it might have been just from the witness, but by the ministry, maskonole pravicet sandele bragita, out of your spirit comes an unlocking, an accessing. Achkendo blagi ya palabra de kadrichut skonde granji kisikra bragote et skonde akrishkande rapravasti provosta. Ha ha. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just exhortations along those lines. It's all about the plan of God is healing. The plan of God is prosperity. The plan of God is all of those things. But the plan of God is methods and means to bring in the harvest. Amen. Divine encounters that bring divine equipment. Amen. Equipped the gifts and the callings and the gifts and the callings. Equipped by the Holy Ghost. Equipped apostles of rain. Apostles of rain, apostles of rain, apostles of rain, manifestations of rain, astopravashke, praskindila prokochi, hemakorabakastinimekechi, miracles, and a miracle. Rain men, decrees, debashke, merikit, merigida, dangle, rigligi, dem, brege, dagger, nigger, gestong, deadlich, nebragan, nebragane,
Havrijikin, Hikin, Stobran, Jeglichkin, Skambradegeche, Ha ha ha, He he, you prof of Yishtor, Albadiba, Herdo Grindima, Mandi Gande, Regerniga, Mandoro Gristen, Damragija, Jandalo Koste, Janskia de Libragaske, Jeleklisten, Nangarika Stoma, Monskin Skambrage, Grinskin Sambrage, Gioshendolo Bragache, Rekashitomashki. Heaven's invasion begins with man's invasion of heaven. Pursuing the things of God by your witness, by your spirit, draws heaven closer, and the gifts and bestowings of God, the gifts and the callings of God. Wow, 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 wow. Hallelujah. Miracles. Miracles. Marriages. Miracles in the marriage. Miracles. Marriage. Miracles. Marriage. Miracles. Miracles in marriages. Hallelujah. Don't cast aside marriages. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this witness, that the anointing, the Spirit of God, Manda Lebragina, Manda Grudi Bagaje, brings forth miracles and healings, changes of the physical nature, changes upon the physical, changes upon the physical, changes upon the physical. Hallelujah. Lord, we magnify you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for manifesting your presence in this room. Thank you so much for witnessing to us these truths. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for bringing us on from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much that we'll be distributors of rain, distributors of power, distributors of the glory in the presence of God. Thank you so much. 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 Counsel's out of your belly. 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 Counsel's consulting your belly for counsel. Consulting your spirit for counsel. Consulting your belly for counsel. Out of your belly flows counsels of God. Counsels and quickenings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, lift your hands. Let's thank him one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for granting us utterance. We trust that we've been a blessing and encouragement and in these exhortations and these things. Lord, we thank you so much for blessing us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I think we're all done. Amen. Unless Pastor Mark has anything, I'm sure he'll come up and do something. And praise the Lord. Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be here. And you have an unction, and you know what to do. Fight the good fight. Stand against doubt and unbelief and discouragement, and you know exactly what to do. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We love you.